Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, I don't want to start ragging on Blog Talk, but, you know, we pay money. I don't know what it took me three times to try to get this thing together. Oh, my goodness gracious. So let me give this kid a call. Now I have my guest waiting and everything. Like, you know, see, I'm trying to keep my composure, Michael Parks.
He's your composure.
It's very difficult. So let me dial him up real quick, Phoenix kid that I've had waiting now for a bunch of minutes. Hopefully, I'm on my house phone now, so I'm hoping that we'll be able to keep this going or whatever. So, oh my God, little things like that are why I left WWE. You know what I mean? I told Vince McMahon, if this keeps up, I ain't doing it. And to our sponsors, I'm gonna hit your commercials. Don't worry, we're gonna go 90 minutes, okay? So we're gonna go to a little before 9 o'clock. So don't you worry them. We'll make sure we get those bad boys in. Phoenix Kid.
Yes, sir.
Hello. Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you good. Can you hear me?
Oh God, yes. A million apologies, real quick, for the people listening to us. You're here. You're at UWC Radio. Don't forget, you can check us. I'm gonna say you can check us out every Friday from 7 to 8:30. But since it took me a half hour to bring the show back, it's gonna go 7:30. Sorry about that, Phoenix Kid. But a little rant because the whole thing just went out. I had to end up using my house phone to get us back on. But we're here, so we're cool. So. Real quick, Phoenix Kid, I know you're not too familiar with the show. We're going to enlighten you a little bit. You got a few minutes to talk with us? I know we're late now, but can you stay on for a little while?
Absolutely. I can stay up as long as you need me.
Okay, good. Well, one of the co-owners for the United Wrestling Council, which is an up-and-coming SoCal federation that we have out here, Michael Parks is on the line with me. Real quick, Michael Parks, say hi to Phoenix Kid.
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm good. Cannot complain.
He's one of the co-owners. He's on the show with me. You know, we're promoting, you know, stuff to get everything out there. You know, with this COVID, we haven't been able to do much as far as, you know, doing shows or whatever. But Manny Pinson, who's the other co-owner, he works. He's always in the business office, you know, working on sponsorships and getting everything done. So we're steadily making headway to get this thing moving in the right direction. Now, real quick, before we get into talking about some stuff that I wanted to talk to you about, talk a little bit about that. I know you've got a show coming up. It's going to be in Knoxville or whatever. So talk a little bit about that during the COVID. You've been able to do any shows or training, or are you just starting to get back into it, or what's been going on with Phoenix Kids since this COVID?
Well, since COVID, for me, it's been a lot of just sitting on the sidelines, getting a lot of things in the personal life situated. I just got my first opportunity to wrestle last month, actually, for two different shows out here in Texas. But now things are starting to pick back up a little bit. Just having to get out, just having to go a little bit further than usual. But it's a good thing because it's giving me an opportunity to go different places I haven't got to go yet.
Yeah. Now, because Phoenix Kid, for the people who are listening to us, you've been on the move. I remember you were just I don't want to say stagnant, but you're one of the independent wrestlers that's been moving and doing different shows all over the place. So for the people listening that aren't too familiar, talk a little bit about that. I mean, because this is when Michael and I talk. Okay, let's put it this way. When Michael, myself, and Manny talk, and we're looking for a wrestler that we want to book on the show. When I see somebody like Phoenix Kid, when they're calling you and say, hey, can you come over here and work over here, that's a sign of a wrestler. I mean, because you got these kids nowadays that are calling people, hey, man, can you put me on your show? Hey, man, can I work? You know, and it's like I tell them, we'll know. If you're good, we'll see you, we'll know, and we'll call you. You know what I mean? And we'll know who to match you up against. So Talk a little bit about that. You must have been putting in some time, man, doing some work and working different shows to where these people are seeing you and starting to notice Phoenix Kid and getting you and booking you on some shows, right? I mean, believe me, I know you paid your dues. So tell us a little bit about that, how all that's come to fruition.
It took a lot of work. It took a lot. I was the guy. I'm still the guy sometimes that has to, you know, reach out and call people and be like, hey, you know, maybe there's something out there you got for me. Maybe there's something you don't. You don't know unless you ask. Closed mouths ain't going to get fit. But at the same time, it's been a lot of the having to do the social media things, having to do all the paying the dues to get to the point where people are tagging me and things like, hey, we want to see him out here. Or we want to see him doing this. And it's just a matter of if the promoter has something for me or not. So it's a long process, and there's a process I still have to do. But it's cool to see people reaching out to me and they're like, hey, we're interested. Or after maybe one or two messages, then they're like, oh, we see something that we can do with you or something like that. It's really cool.
Well, you know what, Mike? He makes a good point because this is myself, Mike, and Manny. We right now with the COVID, we haven't been able to do a show, especially out here in California. The rules are ridiculous. I mean, they're really, you know, tightened up on us. But we do have this radio show that we use as a vehicle to promote it. So with the sponsors, we have, for instance, we have a sponsor that Pulse Photo, who owns a big photo shop where they do video and all this stuff. So we did a live broadcast from there. And, you know, the wrestlers come out, they take some pictures, they get to meet the fans. So we let our wrestlers know, hey, we're going to be there. You know, come on down, we'll put you on the radio, we'll take some good pictures, you know, and then we see who wants it. You know, like, for instance, we have a tag team out here called Los Chivos. They come. They promote themselves. They want that Chivos name out there. Vito Fratelli, just people like that. And we see that they're working, you know, they're getting themselves out there, they're getting their name out there, they're working. So, like, Mike, I don't know, to me it sounds like Phoenix Kid and I are on the same page as far as, like, what you put into it is what you're going
to
get out of it.
Would you agree,
Mike? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, he sounds like, look, I want to wrestle. I want to do what I love. You know, somebody out there, give me a shot.
Yeah.
Give your boy a call. Give your boy a call.
Exactly.
I'll come do my thing. I feel you.
Which is a good point too, because even though I'm old, I've been doing this for so many years, I still have gear in my bag. I mean, in the back of my car. I always take my gear because you never know. Because especially with Jessica, my daughter who's wrestling now, I go to shows with her. People traffic and stuff happens and people don't show up. So I always keep my bag with me. And that being said, too, somebody like Phoenix Kid, you're confident that, hey, I could work with anybody. So I got my stuff, and they say, hey, Phoenix Kid, can you work with, you know, El Luchador Más Mejor? And we're like, yeah, man, no problem. So it's a good point. It makes a good point right there. But anyways, real quick, for the people listeners, you're here. You're at UWC Radio, and we're talking to Phoenix Kid, talking a little bit about getting yourself out there and working, especially during this COVID. It's so hard. Now, real quick, this show that you got coming up that's in Tennessee, do you know, is that what's the word I'm looking for? Special seating? Or is it, like, out here we have drive-ins. Like, they're renting these big parking lots and you have to drive in and stay in your car or
right,
whatever.
Right.
So this one that you got coming up, do you know what the scenario is, the seating, or is it limited? Or
From my understanding, it's going to be COVID rules are in effect, so your usual, the mask, the special seating. I've done the drive-in. Those are cool. I've done some where they're like, oh, you know, limited capacity, different things like that. But for this one in Tennessee, I think the rules, it sounds like the rules are a little bit lighter over there. So they're going to just implement the minimal of the COVID rules, I guess, the best way to describe it. So we'll see. We'll see once we get there for sure.
Spread everybody apart. But real quick, for the people who are listening, this show is going to be for a company called Total Psychopathic Wrestling. It's Saturday, September 19th. The doors open at 6 p.m. It's at Chatterbox Tavern, and that's at 8227 Chapman Highway in the city of Knoxville, Tennessee. It's funny because it says, I always say shift because I'm on the radio, so I put Outlaw Shift. But we know what we mean because, you know, they're always saying Cowboy Shift. And
right, right.
That's the name of it. It's Outlaw Shift. Now, I'm gonna expand on this a little bit, but I was reading and it said that you're gonna be doing a no pad straight board match. So the ropes and everything are gonna stay on, but they're just gonna take all the padding out and you're just gonna be wrestling straight on the boards.
Correct.
Oh wow.
Who thought of that? Is that the promoter? Did he call you and say, "Hey, look, man, this is what we got going. We'll take the mats off. Just gonna be straight boards. Are you down?" Or how did all that work out?
So giving away a little bit of the magic, but it is what it is. They suggested they wanted to do carpet tech strips, which I'm down with. We do them in NorCal all the time, at UGWA. So I was super excited about that. Then I was like, well, let's just take the whole canvas off. Let's just take the canvas off. And I didn't think he was going to go for it. He's like, oh, that sounds cool. Let's do it. So now we're doing it.
Yeah, and it's different. It's different. People get, because they did that. I was watching Moxley against what's his name? Kenny Omega. And they did that. They took the carpet off. Yeah, and he hit the 450. And when he missed it, man, it looked really like, God dang, man, that guy really went right into the board. So that's very interesting. But I want to talk a little bit about that because a lot of people, when you say deathmatch wrestler or hardcore wrestler or extreme wrestler, for some reason people get the wrong idea. They're like, oh, man, that's just stupid. Nobody can do it. But when reading on your Facebook, because I follow, a lot of people, you said, hey, man, yeah, I'm a deathmatch wrestler, but I can wrestle. You know, if you can't just come out and say, I'm a hardcore wrestler, that's it. You have to know how to wrestle because if you don't, first of all, you're not going to get any work. Second of all, you might get hurt or whatever. So you have to have your wrestling together. So talk about that a little bit because you actually, made sure you trained, got everything together, and you can actually wrestle. Because I read on your thing that you're hoping, because they got this Ring of Honor Pure title that they're doing right now. You said, you know what, I would be interested in something like that. So talk a little bit about that.
Right. So, and people don't realize, and I'll go back on the second part of the question, but people don't realize when you say deathmatch wrestler, the name wrestler is still in there. Wrestling is still on the marquee. That's what's right on the marquee. So you're going to get wrestling. Now, I know you have the guys out there that do the trash brawling, and I'm not going to drop a certain Californian's name on the show, but we all know who I'm talking about. Yeah. Rhymes with a mister. You have to be able to wrestle. You still have to be able to do what you can do. And the difference between me and a regular wrestler is my match, I have to have more story because now I have extra tools and different things that I have to utilize in a way to enhance my story. If I'm just running there swinging and banging and brawling, then it's not giving you anything. You can see that in a bar on a Friday night. But for me, I still have to implement my wrestling into that. But
right,
to go back on the second part of it, it's weird because people forget that for the first 2 or 3 years of me wrestling, that's all I did was straight wrestling. And then it just so happened I did a death match, and then it trickled into another one, another one, another one.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's.
Hey, well, let me ask.
Go ahead.
Let me ask, Phoenix. What do you prefer? Do you prefer traditional, or do you prefer doing death matches?
I like where I'm at right now, where I get to do the balance of the both. If I had to pick one, and I would probably do straight wrestling more, just because it's easier on the body. But don't get me wrong, I love death matches, and if that was all I got booked for the rest of my career, I wouldn't be mad at it.
Yeah, there is a place for it. I want to expand on that a little more. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about what happened on the last pay-per-view, and I want to talk about what's the worst you've ever seen, and I'll tell you what's the worst I've ever seen. But we got to take a quick break. Can you hang on for just a minute, Phoenix Kid?
Yep, no worries.
Okay, hang on. We'll be right back after this. Hang on, everybody. Yeah. we got to talk about that Paul's photos, because I just got a text from Manny. Hey, what happened to you guys or whatever? But real quick for the people listening to us, Paul's Photos, far and away, Paul's Photos is the best store for all your camera needs, located in the city of Torrance. They have the best prices and professional advice from beginner to pro. Still photos or video, Paul's Photos will take care of all your photo and video needs. It's located at 23845 Hawthorne Boulevard in the city of Torrance. You can call Mark if you need to at 310-375-7014 if you have any questions. And you can always go to paulsphoto.com. Paul's Photo, ready, willing, and able to help with all your camera needs. Make sure you go down and check it out. We had the big live broadcast. We're going to head over there tomorrow because everything's on he put some stuff on a disc for us so we can – and the guys that went out there got some really good pictures, and they printed them out, some 8x10s, so they could put them on their merch table and they can make sure that they sell them. So make sure you check out Paul's Photos. And for the people listening here, we're here at UWC Radio. I've got my man Michael Parks hanging with me. Of course, Manny's back at the office taking care of business over there. And on the line with us now is Phoenix Kid, talking a little bit about deathmatch, you know, extreme rules, stuff like that. I got to tell you, there is a place for it, okay? Takes me back to, like, the ECW days, Mike. Remember, for the people listening to us, Michael Parks and I have been watching this stuff. Michael Parks used to have a black box. I mean, we can put that out right now, Mike, because that was back in the VHS days. And we had cables. So everybody would come to the house. Everybody would come to my house and watch it. It was me, Michael Parks, Samoa Joe, Rocky Romero, Ricky Reyes. I mean, we used to pack people in that bedroom to watch ECW because it was so different. You know, people were just really tripping off. But, you know, when I listened to Taz, I listened to his podcast and stuff, he said, you know, we would have such a build-up to the pay-per-view that people would just want to – he goes, for 3 weeks, Sabu and I never touched each other. We just teased it. We never touched it. And so the people just wanted – by the time the pay-per-view came, they just wanted to see blood. They wanted, and that's how you build it up. So I don't think there is a wrestler that's wrestling that hasn't done something like that, because like when Guyam and I, we built it all the way up and had the bull rope match at the end because the people want to see an ending. Now – I'm going to bring this around to the table. I'm glad Phoenix Kid is here with us because I want to get his thoughts on this. You know, Mike and I both watched the AEW pay-per-view, and the big controversy is you know, what happened with Matt Hardy. It's cool, whatever, but it made sense. Why the hell did they do the scissor jack bump so early in the match? Because I was listening to Jim Cornette, and he goes, dude, I'm thinking that's not the finish. How can that not be? Because it just, like, went right into it. And what happened? They overshot the table. Matt Hardy hit his head. So, I mean, it was just a massive confusion, and they went, and it just was horrible. It just looked terrible. So, real quick, we'll start with Phoenix Kid, our guest. Give me your thoughts on that, dude. I thought that was one of the worst matches I've ever seen. What do you think?
See, I'm not even a Sammy Guevara fan to begin with, like, so, let's be honest about it, like,
yeah.
I mean, he does some great stuff. I'm not knocking the man, just it's not my cup of tea, the way he works. Mm-hmm. Whatever, that's here nor there. I'll just leave it at, I wasn't a fan of him to begin with, and that didn't help his case.
But you know what, Mike? It seems like they could have at least built it. They could have at least maybe started in the ring and brawled a little bit and took it over there. But they just, like, they're in a football field, and next thing you know, they're on a scissor jack. Right, Mike? I mean, am I wrong? Or?
No. I mean, again, they want that oh my God moment, and it's like, dude, do me a favor and let your wrestling tell the story.
Yeah.
Go out there and
right.
And put on a match, you know what I mean? And instead of
yeah.
trying to kill yourselves, because, you know, Matt Hardy, you're not 30 anymore, bro. I love you to death.
Right.
I do.
Right.
You're in your 40s, and you don't have the luxury of doing this anymore because you have a family. Not that kind of stuff. You have a family. You have a family to go home to, and it's like you know, you can't say yeah to stuff like that.
Yeah, but it just seems like they could have built, even that, they could have built it up a little bit. I mean, they could have, you know, that was the end of the world. That was the
should have been,
so it just seems like they could have built it up a little bit. Yeah, so just next thing you know, they're jumping off the scissor jack. So I don't know who's booking that or calling finishes, but I'm sorry, man, that was terrible. But you know, that's just everybody's talking about it. They're not even talking about the main event or anything. Just everybody's talking about the botched table spot. You know what I mean? And that kind of leaves a bad name, not only on that, but on the sport. Right? I mean, right, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, that's like having a match out at a pool and you guys get introduced and then the first thing you do is climb the stairs to go up on top of the high dive. To brawl on top of the high dive.
Who
to do a spot
that?
Off the high dive. Yeah, it's like, what are you
doing?
It's like,
what do you do next?
I got my popcorn. I'm ready for the match. Wait a minute. Exactly.
I guess they were gonna go on a goalpost or something and do a move off of there next.
But it made sense. It's like, damn, that's not the finish. What is the finish? You're gonna die or something? But anyway, I honestly
moonsault from the VIP lounge.
Yeah, well, I think that they're struggling for some reason that they're trying to do too much because what's his name? Did the inverted moonsault and he slipped off and he hit his back and hit the guy in the mouth and the guy bit his tongue. I mean, they're just really, really trying too hard, it seems like. But anyways, we're running up against the clock. I want to pose this to Phoenix Kid before we get out of here because unfortunately I was late and the show cut off and everything. Sorry about that. But anyways, I'm going to tell you the worst I've ever seen in person, and then you tell me. I was working for XPW out here. And we were doing this whole thing where we're doing this run-in with the job squad, blah, 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 we're running in on Pogo and all that. So they say, okay, you guys are going to sit in the crowd, and then you're going to jump them. You're going to come out of the crowd or whatever. I'm like, cool, man. So we're like in the third row. And the match before us, don't ask me why, was New Jack and what's his name, Vic Grimes on the scaffold. Mm. So the scaffold is way up there, and there was probably like – six or eight tables under him or whatever. So I guess he was supposed to fall off and go through the tables to kind of break the fall a little bit. But, dude, he threw him. I mean, I seen the New Jack where he said he tased him. I didn't even see that. I just saw
Grimes
come. Mm. Dude, he came off and he hit the sides of the tables, and that kind of broke his fall a little bit. But then he hit the ring ropes and bounced back in. And I'm like, hold dude, I thought he was dead. When he started to get up and walk off, I thought, man, that was far and away the worst I've ever seen, and I've seen quite a bit. So what about you, Phoenix Kid? You seen anything that bad in person or to where you just went, oh, my God, he's dead?
So this was actually me, and I saw the video a little bit later. So in February, I was in San Jose for UGWA. And that's like my baby. I love going there. But short version, I took a Razor's Edge / Awesome Bomb from the stage of the Ritz into the ring. Somehow, I went feet overhead. When I landed, I landed on my neck, and my feet touched the ground at the same time. There's light tubes under me, so I'm just like, hit the ground. I'm awake long enough to tell the ref that I'm hurt.
Yeah, I'm hurt.
And then I go down, and I'm laying there, and I feel everything going on. I can hear what's going on. I'm doing the whole wiggle your toes, wiggle your fingers, you're not paralyzed type deal. And I'm still just laying there, and then the ref's like, hey, man, you got to move. They're about to finish the match. I'm like, I can't move right now. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Do you want to drag me out of this ring?
Dude, that's
and that was in February. That was my last match.
So what
ended
up happening?
That's crazy.
Wait, whoa. Don't end it
go
like
ahead,
that. How'd you get out the ring?
I half acidly rolled out of the ring, and then I had some help from another ref that was outside of the ring, and he helped me get the rest of the way out into the back. But
oh wow,
yeah, it was fun. And then COVID happened.
Damn.
said it was
well,
fun.
They gave me some time to recuperate. Yeah, gave him a little bit of time to recuperate.
Right.
But, you know, that's I only worked for XPW for a couple of shows, and that show turned out to be not what I wanted, but Kevin Kleinrock was going to say, look, man, I'll bring you back. I'll make sure I give you a good match. So, Michael Parks, do you know who Ryan Katz is? He used to book and help out at XPW. He's actually at the Performance Center for WWE now, and he's, you know, I, for lack of a better term, I think he's an agent. But he's a freaking genius, man. He's really smart. But it was going to be myself, and we did this thing called the Tex-Mex Connection, me and Buddy George, and we were going to wrestle R-Truth and Big Baby Slim. So it was at the last minute he saw him, and he goes, you know what? And he gives Kevin some money, and he goes, go get some black khakis, you know, the Dickies, and get the Dicky shirts. He goes, I'm going to make these guys the new Black Panthers. And I'm like, oh, and dude, they had so much heat. But the problem was is the match afterwards was going to be an exploding. Remember Onita used to do those things where the things explode, like if you hit the barbed wire?
Yeah,
or whatever?
Yeah.
So they had all these little bags in the corner that would explode. So they said, don't touch those bags, because if you do, it's going to explode or whatever. And I'm like, okay. But, you know, when you're wrestling, and God bless R-Truth, he, dude, completely professional, nicest guy in the world, but, you know, everybody calls me Favi. There's nobody who calls me Danny, because that's my real name, only at home. But he kept grabbing me, going, Danny, goddammit, you're gonna hit the point. We're gonna explode. Damn it, Danny. So that match was harder because we were trying to avoid the things that blew up or whatever. So, you know, death match, ani madre way, even if you're not in one, you get blown up. So we had to be careful. But that was at the Pico Rivera Sports Arena, so we had to duck and dodge a lot of stuff, and it turned out to be like probably one of the best matches I ever had. So there is a place for it. I just hate for people to get pigeonholed. So maybe something like that, if you can get into something like, you know, Pure Wrestling Champion or, you know, Zack Sabre Jr. or something like that. Because I've had to do it. I've had to do it a few times at Lucha, show that, hey, man, I'm not just a comedic, entertaining wrestler. I can actually wrestle. So I definitely know what you're going through. You know what I mean, bro? But it'll come. Sooner or later,
right.
They're going to say, hey, man, this guy needs somebody. Hey, I'm right here. And they're going to go, you're a deathmatch, dude. I'll show you. And then you show them. So we look forward to that, man. I mean, we really look forward to checking that out. But for the people listening to us, if you want to check out Phoenix Kid, he's going to be wrestling at Total Psychopathic Wrestling. It's Saturday, September 19th. It's at the Chatterbox Tavern. It's at 8227 Chapman Highway in the city of Knoxville, Tennessee. He's going to be having a no-pads, straight-board match. So every... like the song that was the Sting or whatever, every bump you take, every move you make, we'll be watching you take those bumps.
Right,
hey,
right.
We look forward to checking out. Now, Tennessee used to be the hotbed of wrestling. I mean, all Michael Parks talks about is Mid-South Coliseum, Jerry Lawler, Austin Idol, and stuff like that. Have you been out there recently? Is it still pretty hot out there?
So this will be my first time going to Tennessee.
Yeah.
This will be my maybe third time ever going that far, east of the Mississippi. So it's a new experience for me.
I usually
keep my business west.
Yeah, well,
I know that's right.
That's why there's no wrestler in this business that doesn't have stories. So this is just going to be another story. Pretty soon down the line, we're going to be talking to Phoenix Kids. Go, yeah, man, I remember I went to Knoxville, and this happened and that happened. So it's all experience. Do you chew tobacco at all, Phoenix Kid?
Oh, yeah, gross. No, that's disgusting.
Uh-oh. Look.
That's, no.
Look, no. If I'd have known that before we booked him, I wouldn't have booked him, because God dang it, you got to get to. I just said that.
Oh, man.
It's those long road trips like that. If you're on the plane or you're taking that long road trip, man, that's what gets you through it or whatever. So I'm surprised that this. Well, not actually, I'm not, because it's a new, you know, it's a new era or whatever. But Phoenix Kid, man, we look forward to checking you out. For the people listening to us, if you put Phoenix Kid in your little search engine up there, he keeps everybody up to date. I'm gonna be keeping an eye on him, because I'm sure he'll put up some pictures and, you know, little spot videos and stuff when he heads out there to Knoxville, Tennessee. We wish you the best of luck, man. Hey, we'll work on getting you that Pure title championship. Maybe we'll book you against Zack Sabre Jr. for UWC. What do you think, Mike?
Hey, I have no qualms of bringing him over here and letting him showcase his talents.
You know who would be a good opponent for him if we could bring him is Virus from CMLL. He's supposed to be one of the best technical wrestlers or whatever. So we'll work on that, man. We'll get you down here so we can do that. So for the people listeners, don't forget, check out Phoenix Kid. Hey, man, a million thank yous for sticking with us, man. I'm so sorry that we had to cut out and come back or whatever, but we're glad we have you on. We look forward to checking you out in the near future. You want to thank anybody or plug any of your other social media or anything before we let you get out of here?
Just my Twitter and my Instagram at PhoenixKidCFR, all one word. It's easy to find. You'll see the math. And other than that, I just want to thank you guys for giving me the opportunity, and I can't wait to go back to California because I've been missing it, and I love wrestling there, even though it's harder. It's 10 times harder to wrestle there. I just can't wait to go back.
Yeah, we're going to get through this, man, for sure. And honestly, I'll be honest with you, Phoenix Kid, I wouldn't have attached my wagon to a company if I didn't believe in them. And I believe in these guys, man. They really it's different. They're mixing a lot of old school with new school, you know. So it really is. So we'll be looking forward to getting you out here sometime. We'll make it happen. All right, my friend?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Hey, I appreciate you taking the time out to talk to us tonight. And be safe. And you know what? We're going to get him back on after he comes back from Knoxville because I want to know what happened down there.
See how that went. I agree 100%, man. We'll definitely do that. So for the people listeners, don't forget, check out Phoenix Kid. Big things coming. We look forward to that. Hey, good luck out there in Tennessee. We'll be right back after this. Phoenix Kid, everybody. That song, for some reason, gets me going, even though I was in I'm not going to say state of depression, but just very irritated when I had to start the whole – three times, dude. I had to delete two and do one and everything. It took forever. But we're here, and we're live on UWC Radio. Hold on real quick. I got my man Michael Parks over here and, of course, Manny over there taking care of business. But don't forget – man, you got to check out Yards After Contact. You got to check out Yards After Contact because it's a printing service, apparel, and, of course, custom cornhole boards. Check them out at yardsaftercontact.com, and you can check – you know what? You got to check out their Facebook. I went to their Facebook today, and they got some pictures up there. Dude, those cornhole things, they're not just – like I was saying, well, maybe we could put the logo on there. Dude, like they made a Raiders one and like a Long Beach one or whatever. And, I mean, we're talking serious custom, not just just placing a sticker on there. I mean, they were really – the Raiders one was off the charts, man. Even though I'm not a Raiders fan. Sorry. I know I'm Mexican. I should be a Raiders fan. But it was really cool. So you got to make sure you check it out. Oh, you also got to check out the Facebook page, especially because there's some custom UWC shirts on there, and they are modeled by our own Manny Pinson. So make sure you check that out. He's got a little pose where you can see from the back, and then he's got a little pose from the front where you can check out the front, and it's got the nice UWC logo on it. And, you know, no better model than Manny Pinson. I got to tell you, there is so much hairspray on that hair. I'm surprised. Well, that's why it's got to be a button-up because you can't pull it over the top or whatever. But it's beautiful. You got to check it out. So make sure you check out Yard. Watch tomorrow, well, Sunday or whatever, tomorrow when we see him. He's going to be talking stuff, man. So make sure you check out Yards After Contact and get your custom gear today. Yards After Contact, I'm telling you, man, check out those custom cornhole printed out boards. They are sharp, man. Hey, I mean, that's the new thing, right, Mike? I mean, the people really like doing that to get to the Chop Trivia, right? Well, put it this way, out of eight people, only two people just took a prize. But they were – that whole cornhole thing was going like the whole day, right, Mike?
Yeah, man, it was a blast. We had fun, you know. It was Manny's daughters that kept hitting. They were the ones that just kept two in a row, three in a row. It was like, ooh wee.
And it's funny because they were determined to hit those things so they can. I'm like, if you can hit two in a row, you could choose anybody you want. Oh, you could just see the wheels spinning in their head
mm-hmm.
as they were throwing that stuff. But, hey, I'm telling you, man, if we can, when we go to do a live broadcast and we break out that yards after contact custom cornhole board, people are going to be like, woo, because there it is sharp. Maybe we could put, like, some luchadores on there, you know, like facing off and all that. I got to do. And I get a lot of positive feedback on the one that he made. It's like the Mayans in the background and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that one's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, that one's
the tribal thing or whatever. Yeah, man, people like that one too. So we'll definitely be looking, and we'll definitely be talking to, you know, Yards After Contract to get that stuff all taken care of. But anyways, big thanks to Phoenix Kid for coming on and hanging with us since it took me a while to get on board. What do you think, Mike? I mean, to me, a death match is cool, and it seems like they have to kind of do something like that. Well, we're going to take the pads off. It's just going to be boards. And people are like, oh, shit, I got to go check that out. Because 9 times out of 10, it's got to be a build-up, and then you have the big death match, and people want to see what happens. So let's put it this way. You and Manny and I decide to do a show. Would you ever do a show that's just straight gimmicks like that?
Why are you putting me on the spot like this?
Because if there's a place,
you know what,
if people are wanting it, you know, you'd want to do it.
Okay, you're right, but is that within our demographic?
Yeah.
You know, we do that with the fans that we're going after, and what ends up happening, because the fans that like those, I think, are a little bit older.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So it wouldn't be a smart thing for us to do that, because
yep.
we're not looking out for that type of clientele.
They're more the type that wants to see somebody get their head shaved bald or their mask taken or whatever. So
seeing somebody lose their hair, lose their mask, that's us, because that's what we want to build. But
yeah,
you know, just all out, you know, fluorescent lights and tacks, and that's a whole different genre that wants to see that.
First of all, we'll be honest. You hate to pull back the curtain that much, but you know, every time myself and Mike and Manny, we all meet, trying to get insurance is hard enough as it is for a regular show. Now,
yes,
if you say, well, we're going to have thumbtacks and people lighting their nalgas on fire and stuff, I can only imagine, you know, what who would insure that. First of all, if you could get it insured, so you would have to go someplace, I don't know, underground or something, or your own warehouse or something. But because the ones that I did for XPW, the first one was at the Olympic, and that's when they threw that dude off the scaffold. I ain't never seen nothing like that in my life. And then the second one, I told you they had the exploding ring, and you know, they we kept trying to avoid it. But the main event was Lester, you know, Supreme, Joey Chaos's uncle, and he wrestled Angel, and it was a match where they filled those little, you know, those little blow up pools. They filled those with dog food, and whoever got thrown off the scaffold ended up in the dog food things or whatever. I mean, it was, if I remember correctly, it was dog food. It might have been something else. I'm pretty sure it was. But, I mean, it was like, dude, that was crazy. That was, you know, we stayed and watched that, and there was people getting blown up. And Joey Chaos wrestled, I can't remember who he wrestled, but they fought in the bullpen, and they ended up in the dirt. I mean, it was all over the place, and the people loved it. I mean, the people went nuts or whatever. So I guess there is a spot for it or whatever. That was the last show I did for XPW. And it's funny because I talk to Kevin Klamrock all the time. That's when Shane Douglas took over the book or whatever, and I was like, Shane, I can go with the luchadors, man. You know, I know how to. He's like, Favi, I'm going to look at you, bro. I'm going to look at you. That was the last I ever heard of him as he was walking away or whatever. So that was the last time I worked for XPW. So I think there is well, let's put it this way. When Guyam and I had the big build-up, the match before the end of the world – Dude, that's what I always. How many times we talked about it on this show? That's when I ripped his mask off, and he couldn't fight because he was trying to cover his face. So I hit him with the chain, and that's when the people went nuts. And Enigma had to throw a towel over my head, take me out the back because the people wanted to kill me. So the next show was even bigger because they just wanted to see me freaking die, which I did. That's when Guyam hit me with the maroma and almost busted my kidneys or whatever. But so there is a buildup, you know what I mean, to where you can get the people to like, hey, man, we want to see this guy freaking die. And legit, I had to take, man, I had to take six weeks off because, you know, I ended up getting my hip done. So, it, you know, people are like, God dang, he must have really messed it up because he was off for 6 weeks. So there is a spot for it, right?
Yeah. You know, it's just, again, that's a whole.
Yeah, that's a whole different can of worms to open up. Can you still hear me, Mike? Because you're cutting in and out. Mike, you still there? Oh, Mike. All right, let me see. Take a quick break. Let's real quick see if we can reset here. Talking about, I get lulled into that false sense of security, and it just drops. So, Mike, can you hear me? Are you still there, my man?
I'm here. I was talking to myself.
Yeah, you were talking, and I said, boop, and it was gone. So, anyways, for the people listeners, you're back here at UWC Radio. Don't forget, you can check out Paul's photos. Make sure you check out paulsphotos.com, as well as Yards After Contact. I'm telling you, man, that stuff is slamming. So, anyways, we'll talk a little bit about the death matches and what and how they do come into play. But real quick before we move on to New Japan, to me, that's a good point. That's why I listen to people like Taz and I listen to Chris Jericho and I listen to Jim Cornette because they've been in the business so long. They know what works. And when he said that, you remember, Mike, Taz didn't touch Sabu for 3 weeks leading up to the show. So people want, but they would do these little things and Taz was a good talker because he would say, who's the biggest scumbag in this business? Me! And all that. And it was just the people were like, oh, dude, he is going to suplex Sabu until he dies or whatever. So
he's going to break his neck.
Exactly. So by the time they got there, people wanted to see them kill each other because they weren't able to get at each other for 3 weeks. So to me, that makes sense. I mean, would you agree?
Oh, hold on. Ooh, I almost lost you.
What is wrong with you?
My headphones got caught. And I yeah, see, it's one of them nights, man. Lord.
Hey, trying to play it off. We know you're on track phone, bro. I already put it out there. So don't, you know, it's cool.
Nah,
I got you.
Wow, you keep saying it's track phone. No, repeat what you just said to me.
No, the point I'm trying to make before we move on to New Japan is there is a place, a spot for it if done right. Like Taz said, he didn't touch Sabu for 3 weeks, and everybody wanted to see what happens. So if you build it up good enough, it's going to sell out. I mean, you, like Sabu is the first one to say, the end of the world can't come every day. You know, he goes, they would send me to Japan for FMW, and they would have me do three barbed wire matches in 1 week. He goes, and I would tell Oneida, the end can't come every day. You know, and second of all, I can't go through barbed wire every day or whatever. So you kind of get what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. That's just it takes a toll on his body. Because I was going to say, you know, the guys do the death matches and then they come to the back, get paid, and they go. Well, I'm the type of person who would be like, man, where are you staying at? You know, you might have to stay in my house because you're banged up, man. I don't want you to be by yourself. You're hurting. You know,
we don't want to leave you alone.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I get it. Well, look, man, hopefully, you know, as soon as this COVID's over, once we get going with the UWC, the way, honestly, it's been kind of good because we've kind of been able to see who really wants to work and who's just kind of seeing what's happening and stuff like that. So we're working on really putting stuff together. That's why we always talk about people don't see behind the scenes. We're meeting every weekend. We're talking to wrestlers every weekend. We're, you know, figuring out what if we do this and what's – so when that first show hits, it's going to be a mixture of everything, and everybody's going to go home happy. That's why we have this program, and that's why we do it. That's why we're constantly working to get it out there. So we might bring a Phoenix Kid. I mean, who knows? We might, you know, bring Mecha Wolf, and you know, that's what we're working on. That's why we keep working all the time and doing this. So if you notice on my Facebook, I put, you know, that it's my one goal in life to bring Lucha to the people because I don't know if Mike feels the same way. I think I could speak for him. It one thing that annoys me is people and go, oh, you do that fake wrestling. God dang it. And then when I see people jumping off the scissor jacks and doing stupid stuff like that, that's why I get so upset. You know, I'm like, God dang it. But you watch CMLL on Sunday, you see it's pure wrestling, man. And they still tell a story, and you still are excited to go home happy. Now, speaking of that, the other promotion that I like is New Japan because it's just same thing. They do a little stuff to build it up, but they don't do stuff like that. Jump in a pool of orange mimosas or whatever. You know, they build it up the right way. So the G1 Climax, which is the, you know, everybody wants to see, unfortunately with this COVID, they're doing it with, you know, a minimal crowd or whatever, but they announced the A block and the B block today. And when I saw the matchups, I'm like, dude, I would pay $60 to see this. You know, if they showed the whole thing, would be even better. Because in the A block, the first match to start it off is Okada against Kota Ibushi. Dude, how can you go wrong with that match?
Dude, wow.
And that's starting off.
You know, I've been watching, you know, Ibushi tagging with Tanahashi.
Yep.
You know, they call the Golden Aces. That's a tight name right there. I like that name, the Golden Aces.
And it's a lot better, you know, than the Golden Lovers.
I would believe so, sir. I would believe
that's
so.
That's what him and Kenny Omega were, the Golden Lovers.
Yes, they were the Golden Lovers. But you can't go wrong with that match. You really can't. Because I ain't gonna lie to you, man. I miss seeing the Rainmaker, man.
Yeah.
I wish Axe never got rid of him.
When you can be a Japanese wrestler and change from wearing the shorts to the pants, and the people say, "Please bring back the shorts," that you got a fan base. I mean, they literally rode in and did it. And then did you see the first match when he came back and took his robe off and he had the shorts on? Japanese people are quiet, but when they saw him take that robe off, they went nuts. And I'm like, what the hell going on here? I mean, they really, really, you know, get behind this dude. So that's in the opening. And then you got Shingo Takagi against Jay White, which is going to be good. But then you got Tomohiro Ishii against Minoru Suzuki. Dude, that is going to be hard hitting. They both wear the short shooter boots or whatever. So to me, I think this is going to be a brawl until Minoru Suzuki catches him in a knee bar or something. Because soon, as he's getting up there in age, even though he could throw a better drop kick than 90% of the people at that are younger than him, that's what he's. But then after that, you got Jeff Cobb against Taichi. Okay, Jeff Cobb is going to suplex this. Taichi's the one that comes out with that microphone, and then he ends up taking
he takes
his stuff off or whatever. Well, give me your thoughts on that match. I think, dude, Jeff Cobb should just run right through that dude.
he should, but Taishi's, you know, one half of the IWGP Tag Team Champions. So,
yes,
you know, they're gonna let him.
I guess one of the guys from Show and Go is hurt. Is that right? Not Show and Go, Show and Yo. Sorry.
I think so.
It's gotta be Yo. I mean Show. Yeah, no, because Ospreay is gonna wrestle Yo from there. So Will Ospreay against Yujiro. So that's gonna be huge. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh wee.
So okay,
is Bone Crusher wrestling?
Hold on, that's A block, okay? Then you get to B block, and the first match is Tanahashi against Tetsuya Naito.
You know what? I'm gonna tell you something. The break that they took for COVID, I think was a blessing for Tanahashi because he came back in shape.
He looks
better than he has, you know, in a long time, and he looks like he's not so injury prone, you know, because he had a chance to rest his body.
But
yes. He came back. He looks good. He really does.
Yep.
He looks good.
And then you got Zack Sabre Jr. versus Evil. After that, then you got Goto against Kenta, and then you got Toriano. You know, Toriano, like, again, they say comedy wrestler or whatever, which I don't really – well, honestly, it seems like he could do a little bit better. But he's going against somebody who I think is the most underrated wrestler in New Japan in Sanada. Sanada's got game, man. That guy can go.
If anybody in New Japan is getting held back, it has to be him. I don't know why Sonata doesn't have a single belt.
I'm going to disagree,
you know,
with that as far as him not being used well. Sonata, for sure, he should be up there. I mean, that it goes – why? I don't know. Well, he used to be with the Ingobernables or whatever. Then they kind of broke away and stuff. But that dude's got game. But the last match is Juice Robinson against somebody who I think – is extremely underrated. Dude, I'm tell you this. You know who Yoshihashi is? To me, that dude is underrated, and he's constantly putting people over. I follow that dude on Instagram, and I'm totally always just pumping that dude up. I think they should give that guy a push. I think he's deserved it. I think he's paid his dues. He's put everybody and their mama over. I am on this radio show right now saying let's go, after this is over, Yoshihashi against Sanada, and I guarantee you that'll be a hell of a show. I mean, that dude is my favorite underdog, and I wish they would just give him a push. Who do I need to talk to, Mike? Do you know?
I don't know. That's your sympathy guy.
Yes.
Give him a shot.
He deserves it, man. That dude's paid his dues. But anyways, we look forward to that. I don't know if you can check it out on newjapanworld.com and you know, do the pay or whatever. I might have to, you know, ask my daughter, hey, look, how do we get this and what do I got to pay? I'm seriously considering it or whatever because I would really like to see the G1 Climax. I think that's going to be slamming. But real quick, before we get out of here, because I know we still got a ways to go, but, you know, I got to see Lyoto Machida against Phil Davis because I got a report on that, and that's going to be huge. That's on Bellator that's on right now. But have you, Michael Parks, ever – you know what, real quick, let me take a quick break, Mike, and we'll come back, and I want to run a couple of things by you from Japan real quick, all right?
All right.
Hang on. Don't go nowhere.
I'm not.
Forget said, everybody, we'll be at Paul's Photos tomorrow. We're going to be there at about 11 o'clock. We're going to look at some pictures, do a few more things. I would like to take a couple of more photos just in because I wasn't prepared for the last time. So we will definitely be at Paul's Photos tomorrow at about 11 o'clock. If you want to go check it out, it's at 23845 Hawthorne Boulevard in the city of Torrance. Don't forget, that's 23845 Hawthorne Boulevard in the city of Torrance. We're going to go up there about 11, hang out for a little bit, to go check out some stuff. If you want to come down, I'll take some buttons and some stuff to give away just in case people, you know, come down. We're only going to be there for like about maybe an hour or whatever, talk some stuff because we're anticipating once the COVID is over doing a show there, which is like the perfect place to do one. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to look at some pictures and stuff. So if you want to come down, check out Paul's Photos. We're going to be hanging out there from about 11 to 12, so make sure you check it out. And please don't forget Yards After Contact. You got to check out Yards After Contract, printing service, apparel, and, of course, custom cornhole boards. Check them out at yardsaftercontact.com, and you can check out their Facebook page where they have some great pictures, some of their work, especially the custom UWEC shirts modeled by our own Manny Pinson. I mean, that alone, well, you got to check that out. So make sure you check out Yards After Contract and get Yards After Contact and get your custom gear today. So, yeah, we're going to head down there tomorrow. So if you want to come down, check it out, hang out with us for a minute, feel free to do so. Go ahead, Mike.
We haven't mentioned this tonight, and I don't, you know, I have to send you off the air on a sour note. But what do you think about this? It looks like they're getting ready to start a program with Garza and Andrade. Head-to-head.
You know, the Mexican-on-Mexican crime, I knew they were building up to that or whatever, but to be honest, I think that's their only option because, you know, they really can't. You know who's – I mean, whatever. They're still going to put on a show. I mean, that's all they could do because they don't really know how to use them. But who's been really making a concerted effort to get up there is the Lucha House Party. I mean, dude, Kalisto is in shape. Lince Dorado, those dudes, I'm looking at them like, God dang, what's going on? They're in shape. And Grand Metalik, dude, if they would just let that dude go, he you know, they call him El Rey de las Cuerdas, which is the king of the ropes. And you know, Mike, is there any more call or need for a six-man tag team in the WWE than now? I mean, you could have the Lucha House Party. You could put Garza and Andrade and bringing somebody else to, you know, so they could be a triple tag team or whatever. I mean, they could, and once the New Day gets back, there's a six-man team right there. I mean, that would be, I mean, don't you think that would be great?
It would, but, you know, like to go back to what we were talking about last week, it just seems like WWE is getting further and further away from showcasing tag team wrestling. And,
yeah,
you know, that really sucks.
They don't want to go against the grain or something. I don't know.
No, because they have some. I mean, from WWE UK all the way to NXT, they have some good tag teams that they're just. I don't know, man. It's sad to me.
It would be.
It is. It's sad.
One day, let me just book for one day. I mean, I'll blow the roof. We'll do like a Great Mexican Bash instead of a Great American Bash or something, and just really blow the roof off that place. But before we get out of here, have you checked out Mr. There's a guy named Mr. Cacao that makes all the gear in Japan, dude. His gear is ridiculous. So he's a wrestler too. So all the guys from like he's a huge CMLL. Not a mark, but, you know, just that's his thing. He loves the guys from CMLL. When they all come down, they all go to his shop, and they check it out. So he's opened a new shop. So if you get a chance to check it out, it's Mr. Cacao. It's Mr. and then C-A-C-A-O. He's on Instagram, and he's on Facebook and stuff like that. Dude, go on there and check out his shop. Not only does he have every mascara you could think of, because he sews, he makes the gear, he's got boots. He's got, you know, trunks. He's got gear. I mean, it is amazing. You got to see that shop. He had a small shop, but he ended up expanding. So he had he makes like these custom tracksuits that have, you know, the CMLL logo, and it says, you know, Lucha Libre.
Yeah.
Dude, his stuff is amazing. So are you familiar with him? Have you seen him before?
No, I have not. I will have to look him up and
When you get a chance, check it out. His, hopefully once UWC gets going and we just start on the map and we're in between AEW and WWE, we'll take a trip out there to go check out his shop, because it is amazing. Well, when the guys from CMLL went out there and they ended up keeping Dulce Gardiña and a couple of more people, I can't remember who they, Soberano Jr. and those guys, they stayed for an extra 4 days, so Mr. Cacao brought them over to the shop, and they cut some little promos and stuff, and it was really cool. I mean, it's first of all, Mr. Cacao's stuff is amazing. I mean, and it takes him like 2 minutes and just sews everything all up. And his mask, too, he made like a monster gear, like, you know, the monster energy drink with the black uh-huh. and yellow or whatever. Dude, I was like, man, it is amazing the stuff that this guy can do. So if you get a chance, check it out. That's my goal. That's on the bucket list to go down and check out Mr. Cacao before I can't go over there anymore. So anyways, with all that being said, hey, I appreciate everybody that hung with us. Sorry for what happened at the beginning. This is – I don't know what goes on. The three shows before, no problem, direct connect, everything was good. When I went to boot it up the second time, Mike, it said that they're having a problem, they can't connect, so it's on their end. If it's on my end, I'm just a knucklehead and I don't know what I'm doing, but I've been doing this for a while now. So hopefully we can get everything back together, because the one thing I hate, Mike, is having to call a wrestler or a jiu-jitsu fighter and say, hey, I'm sorry, but the server went down and, you know, I'm sorry, I have to call you back. That's the worst call I hate to make, so hopefully that won't happen again. But, you know, big ups to Phoenix Kid for coming on and talking to us, talking some deathmatch and stuff like that. We look forward. Make sure you check him out, Phoenix Kid. You can put him in your search engine. Keeps everybody up to date on there. You can check him out on there. And also, big thanks to Paul's Photos. We're going to go over there tomorrow, hang out from about 11 to 12. We're just going to go pick up some pictures and go look at some spots and stuff to where we want to do the show and try to get all that stuff worked out. So we'll be there from 11 to 12. You guys want to come out, take some buttons and stuff, some stuff to give away for the people who come down just to hang out. And, of course, man, I don't know how many times I could talk about that Yards After Contact. I was just expecting little stickers on these boards, but these things are ridiculous the way they really made them look nice. So, and, of course, you know, the UWC shirts and stuff like that, go on their Facebook so you can check them out. And you can see what I'm talking about. So, Mike, a million thank yous for coming on, man. I look forward to next Friday. Hopefully we will have some good news that we're getting closer. We've been working day and night to try to get this thing going. So we'll keep everybody up to date on that. If you want to check out Mike, you can go to Michael Aaron Parks on your Facebook. Okay. For the people listening to us, Manny and Mike, every time we go meet, I'm like, dude, you got to put stuff on your Facebook, even if it's just pictures of you going to Paul's Photos and picking up your pictures and stuff so people know what's going on. So before we get out of here, Mike, why are you not putting up as much as you should on there?
You know what? I just lagged. I have to start doing it. My bad.
Yes. And Manny, too, co-owners. They're co-owners of the United Wrestling Council. So, you know, we'll try to get as much stuff up there as possible to keep the people informed and they can see what's going on, even if we're just, you know, negotiating with some workers to come down and stuff like that, or going to Roberts to go check out the ring and stuff like that. We'll make sure we keep everybody posted on that. So, and, of course, we'll see everybody here next Friday. Hopefully
and
we'll be able to go from 7 to 8:30 like we're supposed to. Go ahead.
And we're getting our website together, so that's the big thing. So
yes,
we're gonna get our website together.
And Michael Parks himself has been making efforts to help us with the marketing person that's gonna really, you know, when we talked last week, it made a lot of sense. You know, we got to get some stuff out there so that people can go to the website and we can keep everybody up to date on there and make sure we have all that stuff together. So we're working on it. I mean, it's a project, but we're working on it. So we'll see everybody here next Friday, 7 to 8:30, United Wrestling Council. Make sure you check us out. Michael Parks, I will see you tomorrow at Paul's Photos, and we'll go from there.
Right on.
All right, my man.
All right, dude.